As I mentioned already, what a wonderful way to start the new year. To start the new year on the Lord's Day, on the Christian Sabbath, gathering together with the people of God. And as I considered what we might look at together this evening, I was reminded of a verse that I'm sure most every one of us at some time in our Christian life have memorized. It's that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If you did the topical memory system with the navigators, you learned it early on, as I did. I think it was in 1968, somewhere in that vicinity, and it's stuck. And as I considered that we would look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 particularly, I did so because it is a new year. So what's new? And I think one of the things that we as Christians need to remember is that our identity needs to be informed by the Bible. Who am I? And one of the things that we learn early on as Christians, according to this 17th verse of the second chapter of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians in the fifth chapter, is that we are new. That we're new. One of the first sermons that Kim heard me preach was up in Syracuse, New York, and I focused our attention on the 16th verse and the fact that as Christians we're to have the eye of the Spirit. And afterwards she said, "May I please look over the notes?" I had an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper with 1 Corinthians 5:16 written in the middle and a couple words and handed it to her. If I were able to speak Greek well, I would greet you with Happy New Year in Greek. But I'm not able to do that. But I do believe that I'm able to say New Year, and that is Neo Etos. And it's important for you to hear that Neo. Because in the Greek language, there are two words that are translated new in the Bible. Neo, or neos, is one of them. And the other Greek word that is translated new in the New Testament is kainos. Kainos. And it's important for us to appreciate the difference between those two words when we talk about the newness of the Christian life. When we talk about New Year, we're talking about something that has begun and is going forward. So, neos is a forward-looking word with respect to new. Kainos, on the other hand, is easy for me to remember the difference, and that is that kainos talks about kind difference, K-I-N-D, the difference that exists in kind. So kainos, in a sense, looks back at what was and is no longer. You get it? Okay, neos, Happy New Year. We're looking forward to the unfolding of 2023 and what the Lord has in store for us. But listen now to 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 12 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 12. And listen in that 17th verse, especially. Paul says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus, no longer the eye of the Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Paul and Timothy want the Corinthians, those they address as the Church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Acacia. I've mentioned before, and I'll mention it again, I'm sure, many times. Paul writes not to sinners. Paul writes to saints. Saints who are in all Acacia. To realize that those who boast in appearances and not in what is in the heart are not worthy of paying attention to. Paul's of sound mind when he is writing to these saints. Sound mind Paul is compelled to love. Love which is rooted in the reality that if one died for all, then all died. Paul's talking about this substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, isn't he? And he's talking about what it is that he's died for those who are his. And how does he identify those who are his? He says that those who live should no longer live for themselves. And isn't Paul drawing up in his mind what many of you ought to remember as you've been working your way through the book of Matthew? Back there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, what must he do? He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so Jesus is, through Paul, reminding us that Christ died for those who are his. He died once for all, and therefore those who are with him died with him. And we know that we died with him with what? If we no longer live for ourselves. Life's not all about me and what I want. Life's not all about me, myself, and I any longer. Why? Because I've died to self. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul would write to the Galatians. And this is what he says to us in that 17th verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, Jesus is no respecter of persons. Anyone, male, female, young, old, whatever nationality, anyone, if anyone, social status, lacking of it, disabled, healthy, if anyone is in Christ, or literally, if anyone in Christ. How is it that a person comes to be in Christ? The only way a person is able to come to be in Christ is if before the foundation of the world, God determined to save that person. Why do I say that? Because God, before the foundation of the world, created our first parents and indeed understood that when our first parents were going to be asked the question, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you love me? When our first parents were going to be asked, do you believe me? Will you live by every word that proceeds from my mouth? What did our first parents do? Well, you see, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knew that that's exactly what was going to take place. But He wanted a people who would love Him and who would serve Him and who would make up His Son's inheritance. And so before the foundation of the world, He got out a book and He started writing in the Lamb's Book of Life those for whom our Savior Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity incarnate in Him, would die. For them. So our in-Christedness is something that was established before any of us, in fact, before anything that is, existed. Therefore, if any in Christ, but is it possible for me to know if I was written in that book before the foundation of the world when the Trinity got together and said, we want a people? And the answer is yes. I may know that my name is written in that book. How? Glad you asked. Because if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He rose from the grave on the third day and confess Him as Lord, what has happened to me? I have been born from above. I have been born again. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is the one who said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit's the one who comes. As the wind blows and you don't see it, but you know it's there, so the Holy Spirit comes and He blows in our lives and He takes that heart of stone out and gives us that heart of flesh. And therefore we come to understand the gospel that Jesus died and we died with Him. That's phenomenal. That we, through the Father, Son, making the covenant together, were there with Jesus as He went to that tree and died. we know that we're in Him because by His grace we do what? Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. Or Jesus is the one who came and said, the first things that the Bible records came from His mouth, we repented and we believed that the kingdom of God's at hand. The only way we're able to do that is because we've been born again. We can see. We're no longer blind. If anyone is in Christ. So you see, each and every one of us here this evening who has professed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore we are able to say, I'm in Christ. With me? Now what does he say is true of us? What is our identity according to God? He is a new creation. A new creation. Now, here's the question. Which Greek word for new? Now, you don't have your Greek Bible, so you don't know. Does Paul use here? Does he use now us? We've started the new year, 2023, and we're looking forward to what's going ahead? No. No. There's something far more profound when it comes to our identity in Christ, and that is that we are kainos. Remember what kainos is? We are a different kind of person. Do you understand that? We memorize this verse and we think it's wonderful. Yes, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm new. Well, what kind of new am I? Who's going to define me? Who's going to tell me what's new about me? Well, God is. And what He's telling me is new about me is I'm a different kind of person. What I was, I'm not. Did you hear that? Let me repeat it. What I was, I am not. What was I? I was dead in my trespasses and sin. How do I define? What does the Scripture say about my deadness and trespasses and sin? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. We who used to walk in the flesh, indulging the flesh, dead in our trespasses and sin, we found our satisfaction and our happiness in the things of the flesh. Let's face it. What did we like about life before we were Christians? long as we didn't get caught, we could do whatever we wanted and not feel guilty. And we pretty much did it. Until the grace of God came and took that heart of stone out and gave us that heart of flesh. Romans chapter 1. When we exchanged the truth of God for a lie and began to worship and continued to worship the creation and not the Creator, down to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Why is the world behaving the way it's behaving right now? God is giving us over. Not us, but the world. Over to their debased minds. And what happens? Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. For all have fallen short, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Paul would write earlier in his first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 6 and verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You see, he's telling us this is what we were. This was our identity before, by the grace of God, we found ourselves to be in Christ. He's a new creation, kainos. Old things have passed away. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Oh, what a marvelous, marvelous verse. And such were some of you. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Isn't that remarkable? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become kainos. Because we are now in Christ, sin no longer has mastery over us. We are no longer slaves. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And what does that look like? Well, again, we can go back, can't we, to Galatians chapter 5. And we can remind ourselves again of what Paul writes about that which is in contrast to the fruit of the flesh. And he speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. And what does he say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. I get news feeds from the Christian movie critiquer, Bear or something like that. Spoke about how Johnny Erickson Tata was in tears when she watched the third episode, I think, of the thing called The Chosen. I'm not saying watch it or don't watch it. I'm just saying she was in tears when she saw the third episode of Chosen. And it was in that third episode of Chosen that Jesus says to a person who's asking to be healed, "No, I'm not going to heal you so that my glory can be manifested through you in your disability." Johnny Erickson Tata is in tears. You know why? Like, she was age 17. She's just about my age now. She's been in a wheelchair. Sometimes we don't get healed so that we may be long-suffering and be a testimony to the grace and the glory of God in our lives. Ephesians chapter 3, the beginning of the chapter, talks about how in our afflictions we have opportunity to speak the gospel to those who see us in our afflictions. Think of how many people, and I'm not sure, but I just think I know Catherine well enough, are hearing about how God is sustaining her in the hospital. Right? Long suffering. Why? There she is to share the gospel with all those people who are caring for her. What kind of people are we when we are suffering? Fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering. Kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness, self-control. Self-control? I thought that's something I had to have. I need to get my life in order. Boy, that's the world, isn't it? How many New Year's resolutions? How many are going to change their life because it's 2023? I'm going to start riding this exercise bike. I'm going to start pushing away from the table sooner. Push aways and ride, right? Those are two things that, well, anyway. Through the Spirit. That's self-control. What happens when we're not in control? We're quenching the Spirit. We're quenching the Spirit. He's there for us to give us the control we need. And when we don't appropriate the control we need, we're saying, "No, thank you. No, thank you. I'd like another bite. Well, maybe another bite. What? My identity, though, is not in the fact that I eat more than I ought to on occasion. I'm not identified as a glutton. I may have been a glutton, but I am no longer a glutton. Do you get it? Do you get it? I'm an alcoholic. I'm a Christian alcoholic. What? Oh, I'm a Christian glutton. I'm a Christian procrastinator. Just know me as procrastinating Christian. How many times do we let the devil identify us by what we used to be instead of by who we are? How many times? And he just gets in there enough. Right? To where we become very, very defeated. And then we look for all sorts of justification for our being defeated. When what we need to be reminded is who I am in Jesus Christ, and therefore what, by God's grace, I am, as opposed to what I was. So I had a very, very painful conversation with a dear friend just yesterday morning. I said, "Well, how are you doing with the bottle?" Not very good. You have some still? Yeah. You ready for me to go with you and empty it down the... Not yet. You know that's not what you're supposed to be about. You name the name of Christ. I know. I said, no, you don't. You don't know. You know why I say you don't know? Because the right knowledge brings about the right action. I know 2 and 2 are 4. I don't put 5 and say, yeah, I know. Give me a break. What do you mean give you a break? 2 and 2 are 4. They're not 5. Oh, but give me a break. Do you know or don't you know? Well, I don't know. I don't know. But it scares me, and I trust that he's begun once again to think seriously about claiming to have denied self, taken up his cross, and following Jesus. He's forgetting his identity if he's a Christian. And the devil's wreaking havoc with his brain. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seating at the right hand of God. Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the neos man, who is kainos in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now he talks about our being a new man. 2023, a new man. Life is before me. What's going to happen in my life? I'm renewed. In my mind. Kainos. I now, you see, have the mind of Christ because I'm in Christ. Therefore, he says, behold, all things have become kainos. Now, we know for sure that the Spirit wrestles against the flesh, don't we? The Bible is very clear about that. Our being a new creation in Christ identifies us in our union with him. And what we were is that old body that is dead. But I like to say rigor mortis hasn't set in. You know when you cut the head of a chicken off? Like I did when I was going for that merit badge in Boy Scouts. And they said, be humane and don't let the chicken go after you cut the head off. Don't do that. That was terrible. I polka dot red all over. You cut the snake off, head off the snake, and hang it on the line, and it hangs there like that for the whole day. Okay. The old man is crucified, but rigor mortis isn't set in. And so what do we find in the larger catechism? Question 75. Sanctification is a work of God's grace, whereby they whom God hath before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time, through the powerful operation of the Holy Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life and all other saving graces put into your hearts, and those graces stirred up, increased and strengthened, as that they more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. So what's new? What's new? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is past. The new has come. Shame on me when I seek to find pleasure in the old me. Because that's not me. That's who I used to be. And I need always to be reminded of what happens when I sin. I don't act in faith. I don't act in faith. What does it mean to act in faith? It means to live out my life in the gospel. What does that mean? I died with Jesus on the cross. Who I was buried with Jesus in the grave. Who I am now was raised with Jesus and is seated with him in the heavenly places, so that I am more than a conqueror
through Him who conquered sin and death.